What's up, everyone? You are back in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast, episode number 6. We're going to go over Tebow time in Denver, the possible sportsman of the year, and news coming out of the baseball world that the Astros are going to do a little moving around and some realignment. Let me take the listeners through a timeline of my Thursday night watching the Broncos and Jets. Not pretty football for about 54 minutes. And with 58 seconds left in the game, Timothy R. Tebow scores a touchdown, and I get a call from one James Troiano. And he's excited, weren't you? You were excited.
I got a little excited. Why do you know his middle initial? Like, you know his middle name?
Like, what else do you know?
You know each of his, like, cousins and all kinds of other crazy stalker stuff.
No, it's Gator stalker stuff. You know, we're like that.
Are you like that?
Yeah,
are you
no,
sure that you want to be like that? Because you like sound pretty proud that you're like that.
No, I know his middle initial. His middle name's Richard. It's coming from the years as a Gator fan, so, you know. I know my Tim Tebow.
Good for you.
Well, good for him.
I have a lot more respect for you than I just had 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, listen, it's safe to say he's the most polarizing figure in football in a long time. And again, there's certain things we can all agree on. And, you know, of course, I mean, look, I'm pro Tebow. Everyone knows that.
What?
Yeah, right. I saw that coming. But I know his numbers haven't been great. 9 for 20 passing for 104 yards.
Yeah, okay? That's not great. Is an understatement.
8 carries for 68 yards, one of them for 20, and a touchdown. Obviously, the winning play, a 20-yard touchdown run with 58 seconds left to put them up 17-13. And I know those aren't great numbers, and we talked about this on Thursday night. When do you start asking yourself, if you were, you know, I don't want to say anti-Tebow, not everyone is that fierce who doesn't believe in him, but if you were a Tebow doubter, at what point do you start saying, man, you know, I mean, they're winning?
Well, they are winning. I kind of view myself as a Tebow neutralist. Like,
I
don't like him. I don't hate him. Right. So what I do is I sit and I look, I process what I'm looking at. And he beat a play that Rex Ryan's and the defensive coordinator, whose name escapes me at this current, Pettine or something like that. Mike Pettin.
Clearly not a guy that left an impression on you.
Not impressed. No, he shouldn't have called an all-out blitz there. Mm-hmm. That's apparent. But look, Tebow doesn't control what the defense calls, and he beat it, and he ran for a 20-yard touchdown. And afterwards, I think that what I like about Tebow is, or at least this story, what I like about Tebow right now, because when Tebow's not starting, he's a third string. I don't care about Tebow. Mm-hmm. But while he's starting, yeah, it's nice to root for a guy who people legitimately don't like and have no reason to not like him other than they just don't like him. And it's nice to see him kind of like stiff arm the hate, the haters, I should say.
I think you and I go through similar conversations when we talk about LeBron James, because you know how much I love LeBron, and I think it's pretty much the same. You're not anti-LeBron.
I don't care about LeBron.
Well, you're a little bit more of a realist, and you know how much I love him. You know, but you don't argue with me about LeBron, but you try to talk me down.
Well, I just think that
on LeBron.
I think that the reason why LeBron and some of these athletes come out in defense of Tim Tebow is because they don't want the same criticism, and they know how it feels, and they're like, they kind of cringe because they're like, ah, what if that was me? That'd be awful.
Well, and sometimes,
you know what I mean?
Sometimes it's been them.
It's not warranted to like to like emotionally hate somebody because you don't like the way they play football. It's like, what are, like, you have too much time on your hands if you think like that.
Right.
It's a sport. He's a guy, you know? If he wasn't playing football, he would just be a really nice guy.
Right.
But he plays football. If you don't like his football, if you're not a Denver Broncos fan, it doesn't really matter for you.
Right.
Unless you're a fan of the team that's going to trade for him in the offseason when John Elway and Jim Fox try to get rid of him. But for right now, if you're not a Denver Broncos fan, why not? What is not to like? He's a super nice guy.
Right.
He's like building a hospital in the Philippines, I just read.
Yep.
I mean, he just does stuff like that. So if he's a nice guy, he says nice things. He never gets on anybody's bad side. He's pretty much done and said all the right things. He's ignored criticism from the media mostly. His head coach, The president.
Well, John Fox was quoted as saying that if he had to play in the, if Tebow had to play in a conventional offense, he'd be screwed.
Not that he's not right. Not that he's not right, but that might not be something that I would say.
Exactly. Is that the right move when you're the, when you become the head coach of a team and that's one of your players that's there? Is that what you should say? You know.
Let me just say this.
Right.
I don't think it's a sustainable way to win for multiple years as an NFL offense, because this is what I see. There's a reason why all these games are low scoring games in the fourth quarter. And it's not because of it's because the offense is bad, but mm-hmm. It's the defense is playing at a very high level right now. And Mark Sanchez and that Jets offense really helped mm-hmm. by being so freaking terrible.
Well, all right. Let me ask you something. If the Broncos continue to win this way, and when I say this way, I don't mean, you know, continuing to complete 9 passes per game and continuing to win 17-13. A few weeks ago, they beat Oakland 38-24. So if they continue to win this way, where Tebow has like a prolific passing game once every 4 games, but it's built around running the power football, and they go out and get themselves the biggest offensive line you can possibly, not that that's not what you already want to do, but if they start building this team around power football, would it start to be fair to say that Tebow and the resulting scheme are changing NFL football?
No, because it's like going back in time. You're not changing. All you're doing is you're doing it a different way. You're not changing anything. Teams are never going to emulate that, because the way of the world is that it's not a coincidence that you win the Super Bowl with a good quarterback right. or a competent quarterback.
Right.
See, Tim Tebow isn't just not getting it done. He's not just adequate. He's well below average. He's mm-hmm. not even completing 50% of his passes. Sometimes he's not even completing 45% of his passes.
He's making one more play than his opponent made.
Look, player mm-hmm. completes 2 passes, win or lose, and they're getting the same kind of criticism.
Right.
Okay. And they're not they're probably not starting anymore.
Right.
And he's getting the benefit of the doubt, which I think that he deserves.
Right.
I think that he deserves it because of what he did in college, where he was drafted. They're paying him anyway. You're not winning the division with, you know, they were out of the race.
Right.
They're only in it because of the way they've played after Tebow took over. And most of the credit, I would say, goes to that defense, because that defense has stepped it up. Von Miller is a beast. If you want to talk about a first-round
yep.
draft pick on that team that people should
yep.
be talking about, it's Von Miller.
Third overall, I believe, and well worth it.
And what Tebow looks like right now to me is a glorified, like, H-back, like running
right.
back. Because it wouldn't be like out of the ordinary to look at a running back like a Matt Forte or a Ray Rice to complete 2 passes for a touchdown and run for 100 yards. And you're like, he just threw a couple HB passes,
right.
you know?
Right. Everyone in the Tebow conversation is probably thinking the same things and has asked themselves similar questions. But I think the two biggest questions, and they kind of complement each other, are, and I saw a statistic that SportsCenter put up this past Friday. And look, this is a comparison to John Elway, but not in the sense that he should be compared to John Elway in terms of achievement, in terms of reputation. But they put up a graphic, and look, it's interesting. And they compared Tebow's first 8 starts to John Elway's first 8 starts, obviously same franchise, the Denver Broncos. And in their first 8 starts, Tebow's 5-3, Elway's 3-5. Tebow had about 200 more pass yards, a 10 touchdown, 4 interception ratio. Elway was 3 touchdowns, 10 picks.
All right.
Obviously more rush yards.
But, all
and
right.
A few more so,
but, hold on, though. It's a multi-layered situation
of course
here
it is.
Because how many passes did Elway attempt? They ran a pro style offense and they asked him to throw a lot more. When you do
sure.
that, you're going to make mistakes.
Sure, but he also
they're not even asking Tebow to bother.
Tebow has
that.
Also thrown for more yards. So pass attempts aside. Now listen, what I want to question off of those that comparison. Again, this isn't the time to compare Tebow to John Elway in terms of reputation. But what I want to ask is how much longer. How much longer does Tebow get like this? I think that's a big question.
He gets the rest of this season or until he stops winning.
Okay.
Look,
so
do you think that in that Chiefs game, if he goes 2-for-9, they get blown out, he rushes for 68 yards and a touchdown, but they get blown out, He's keeping his job.
Well, that just depends on how serious John Fox was when he said Tebow was our guy on the way for the rest of the way out.
He's not serious about that.
All right, well then that's a completely different conversation. Here's your answer.
He's not serious about that. So what do you think? Do you think he'd still be starting?
I think that he gets, they were 1-4. Okay. They were the worst team in their division. Not a good division.
No, they
were
one of the worst teams in football.
Right. And now they're 5-5.
Okay.
And now they're in. I call it what you want. They're in the playoff race. Now, Oakland won today, so they're going to hang on to first place in that division.
Right.
They beat Minnesota. But at 5-5, in a subpar division, the Broncos are in the race. Now, I think Tebow is going to get the rest of the season. Then, next year, all right, I believe he'll still be the starter. Those first 4 or 5 games, that's where they're going to make a decision.
No, I don't think so.
What do you think is going to... You think he's going to be traded?
I think that he gets this year, and they're going to say... It's not uncommon for a coach to come in and want to install his system with his quarterback, and it's not for Tebow or anybody else to think that there's anything wrong with that. There's just not.
Right.
He's not John Fox's guy. He's not John Elway's guy, and there's nothing wrong with getting rid of Tim Tebow if you don't think he's your guy.
Sure. No, sure.
And he can go to another team if another team thinks that he can succeed there. The problem is, man... Nobody thinks he can succeed. No one's looking at Tim Tebow and going, man, gosh, I wish we had him. We would be so good if we had him. Gosh, this stinks.
All right. Well, I've asked the question, how much longer does he get to do what he's currently doing?
I'm telling you, now, he gets the rest of this season or until he starts losing.
The complimenting question is, when does someone decide that they can just stick with him? When does he quit being questioned and someone just decides, look, because you can't say...
When Josh McDaniel takes another head coaching job.
All right, you can't just say when he wins the Super Bowl.
When Josh McDaniel takes another head coaching job.
That's really your answer.
That's my answer. That's the best answer.
All right, now, if you think he's going to be traded regardless of what he does this season...
I don't know if he'll get traded. He might just get demoted.
All right,
or they might be like, Tim, look, man, we tried.
Not at how much he's getting paid.
We gave it the old college try. I know you can appreciate that, Tim.
If he gets this team to the playoffs, what is that, regardless of statistics, what does that do for his stock with other GMs and coaches around the league? Like, the numbers don't look good, but I think I can work with that guy. How many GMs do you think are... How many? Just give me a round number.
What GM is going to be like, our offense looks pretty good. How can I make it look god-awful and terrible?
Okay,
I hate passing.
If he gets this team to the playoffs... All right, you're being really cute right now.
Well, look, if he gets this team to the playoffs... Look at the facts.
So your answer is zero.
You're in love.
No, I don't deny that.
How many GMs want Tim Tebow right now?
Zero. If your answer is... If he gets the team to the playoffs, your answer is there will still be zero GMs wanting... There won't be anyone saying, you know, I can work with that, and I can take that competitiveness and that leadership.
Here's what I want to see. I don't want to see Tim Tebow get to the playoffs. This is what I want to see Denver do. This would help Denver out, and this would help Tim Tebow out.
Mm-hmm.
They need to run a pro-looking style offense and see if he can do it. This is something that we talked about the other day when I called you. They aren't even trying to let the man try any throws.
That's true.
If it's not wide open, he's not even making the pass. He has no confidence in his passing ability.
You mean he's not attempting to pass?
The coaching staff has told him, you're bad at passing. We're not going to call pass plays. And when they do,
Coach of the year.
They have to. Okay?
Right.
And he, right now, I really believe that he thinks that he's bad at passing.
Right.
He thinks that, and he is. So he should think that. But he can't work on it if he's not getting the opportunity. And I think that they're spending all week in practice running this option, stinky offense. And so he's not getting any practice during the week, and then in games they're running it, and he's not getting any practice in games. So, yeah, the defense is playing good. It just so happens that the defense is playing good. Over the last 4 weeks, the defense has been like the best or second best in the NFL.
Right.
So it's just coming down to fourth quarter, Tim Tebow's like, wow, I can't pass. I know I can't do that. So he starts taking over, and he starts doing what he instinctually knows how to do as a football player. The problem with that is when you start thinking about that over a 16-game season, he's going to get hit by big people, and he's going to start getting banged up. He's going to get hesitant, and he's still not going to be able to throw. He just needs to throw. He needs to practice it. He needs to do it 30 times a game. If they look bad, they look bad. They need to know what they have, and they're never going to find out by just having him run the football 20 times a game.
I agree, because you can't ever find out what someone's rhythm could possibly be as a passer if you throw, you know, 9 times in a game. I agree. Like, you can't find out. But if Tim Tebow is stuck in a situation where the coach is unwilling to, you know, make that adjustment, then if you are in charge of, not necessarily his agent, but if you were in charge of making Tim Tebow a success and what's best for his interest, then what? What, he needs to play for a different team, meaning...
Well, that's where John Fox isn't really invested in Tim Tebow's success,
right,
and neither is John Elway. Now, I hate to be kind of like the rain on the parade here, but some players just don't get the opportunity that they deserve. You know, the NFL is a lot of luck. You know, you look at a guy like LeGarrette Blount, and he really should have never been given an opportunity.
Right.
He hit a guy in the face in Oregon, and then he hit a guy in the face in Tennessee and got cut there.
Right.
And he just so happened to end up on Tampa Bay because they needed an extra running back. He showed a little bit in practice. They gave him some starts because of injuries, and he took off and ran with it. The issue with Tebow is, it's not a fair world. The NFL is not a fair world at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he might just never get these opportunities. So this just could be an open-ended argument that we always say, well, what if?
Right.
And I don't know if anybody's had this conversation with him, but this would be the time that if I were him, I would be thinking about, well, what if this doesn't work out as a quarterback? What other positions can I play? Do I really love football? Do I want to help a team win in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
Because it may not be my best option. I mean, he would be a very, very good tight end running back player. He would be a very good Pro Bowl player.
Mm-hmm.
That's because he's a great athlete. And he's not going to ever be a Pro Bowl quarterback. I don't see it from what I've seen so far. I want him to prove me wrong, but
right.
I haven't seen it. And it doesn't look like it's getting any better. And that's all my thoughts in a nutshell on Tim Tebow.
I don't think he's going to get any less polarizing, and I don't think that the argument is going to sway any stronger in either direction.
But he's less polarizing as in a different position, not quarterback.
Oh, no, of course.
He'll get coverage because it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, as long as he keeps playing quarterback, I don't think that the argument is going to get any less intense, and I don't think he's going to become any less polarizing until at least next season when, like, hopefully something could either improve in his gameplay or someone just decides that, and when I say someone, I mean likely the Broncos that he's going to be given up on. But if you have an opinion on Tim Tebow and, well... Who doesn't? Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com. That's backseatsports@gmail.com. And hit us on Twitter @backseat_sports. That's backseat_sports. Coming up next, we're going to be answering some more emails and talking about who could be Sports Illustrated's Sportsman of the Year. That's next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
If you've got questions, comments, or maybe even some insults, email Zach and James at backseatsports@gmail.com or reach them on Twitter @backseat_sports. That's on Twitter @backseat_sports.
Okay, you are back in the Backseat Sports Podcast. I'm Zach Diodati. He's James Troiano. We're going to go to the email inbox now. Again, that's backseatsports@gmail.com, and we're going to respond to a couple emails we got during the week. James...
All right, the first email from Colleen from Athens, Georgia. I was wondering, are you surprised that the U.S. men's soccer team has only netted 5 goals in 7 matches under new coach Jurgen Klinsmann, who, prior to being hired, was known for his offensive-minded tactics? Well, somebody needs to listen to last week's podcast. The next email here.
That's a great way to pick up new listeners, give them some Northeastern attitude.
Now an email from a real fan.
Okay.
Yeah. As you may know, Sports Illustrated comes out with their Sportsman of the Year issue during the first week of December.
Yes.
My vote is going to Aaron Rodgers of the Packers. How about yours? Nappy from Woodstock, Georgia.
Well, Nappy, that's a hard one to argue with, isn't it?
Name's a hard one to argue with. Nappy.
Aaron Rodgers, James, I mean, that's tough. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
David Stern is in the running for me.
You like David Stern?
Yeah, yeah. He's had a good year, huh? No, come on. Aaron Rodgers, that is a hard one to, you know.
You hurt some people's feelings.
The Super Bowl championship, obviously, helps his case. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that he started 10-0 as of our recording on Sunday night either.
Yeah. The NFL is the most popular sport.
Sure.
And
right.
He's the best player right now in the NFL.
In the most popular sport.
Yeah. And you can't really argue with that. I mean, some other names, you know, guys I would, you know, if we can remember the NBA, when we used to have the NBA in America.
Back in those days.
Yeah, back in the day when the NBA used to play on TV. Dirk Nowitzki was pretty good. He won a title. Yeah.
No, look, it does seem like a long time ago.
Women's national team, yeah. You know, Abby Wambach.
Well, there's...
Is it sports man? Is it man? No, or is, you know it, what? Is there a sports woman
Listen,
of the year?
If I'm wrong, and I'm sure our listeners...
Is there a sports woman of the year?
I'm sure our listeners will correct us because, you know, that's what we welcome.
Our listeners don't listen to the podcast for two seconds, all right?
Look,
I mean, you want our listeners to correct? They're sending emails. They don't listen
I'm
to the podcast.
I'm trying to articulate for you the way it works. It's a sports man and sports woman of the year. That's what it is. There's two of them. Now, the sports man is more interesting, but I mean...
Simmer down.
All right, no.
Oh,
I'm kidding. I pushed
a button.
I'm sure Hope Solo and Alex Morgan are in the running for sportswoman.
Why?
Quite frankly,
why those two?
No, you
why
know
not
what?
Abby Wambach?
I think it's because of their shining personality.
Is that what it
That's
is?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're marketable.
As he Googles Alex Morgan images.
Yeah, stand by.
Yeah. Anyway, look. No. Our listeners don't listen to the podcast, obviously. Our listeners, I say that if you could see me right now, I'm doing the little quotation thing.
Yeah, he's doing quotes. Aaron Rodgers is hard to argue with. Like, as you said, Dirk Nowitzki is also in the running, but, you know, it doesn't exactly help that. Let's say that Sports Illustrated issue hits the newsstands. Dirk Nowitzki, Sportsman of the Year. Oh, right. NBA basketball. Forgot about that. That's, you know, that kind of hurts his case. But he did have an amazing postseason. And a lot of the anti-LeBrons that we covered earlier were pulling hard for Dirk. So there was a lot of excitement about what he did in the postseason. Finally got a championship for Mark Cuban in Dallas. Other than Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, who else? Albert Pujols, maybe?
Yeah.
The machine?
Sure, yeah. The sports machine of the year. Okay.
And
sportsman, that was terrible.
You're so good at what you do.
I know. I excel.
I revel. I just sit here with my mouth open, just
well, don't do that.
Staring at you sometimes.
No, don't do that. Our producer is trying to yell out to us. Do you have a suggestion?
Tim Thomas
of the Boston Bruins, Stanley Cup champions. He's gotten off to a fantastic start this season. Oh wait, kind of, sort of. Heard of a little bit.
A little bit
of the most mediocre champion we've seen in sports in a long time. No kidding. The most mediocre championship team.
When the Stanley Cup gets above a 4 in the TV ratings, hockey player,
yeah,
sportsman
there
of the
you
year.
Go.
How about Sidney Crosby's head?
It's just brutal.
Sidney Crosby's head? Is that sportsman of the year?
You know, a few years ago, and this is me being a Gator homer again, I wanted Jeremy Foley, athletic director at the University of Florida, to be sportsman of the year because we had basketball and football championships and baseball in the World Series final. I thought that would have been a good dark horse, but I don't know, Nappy. I think we're gonna have to go Aaron Rodgers de facto. We've covered baseball, Albert Pujols. That doesn't sweep me away. Basketball, no one's gonna get picked from basketball. I guess the soccer girls are gonna be the sports women of the year. And
you think they're gonna do one of those things where that they do like the team, you know, like they don't single somebody out. They go sports women of the year.
Actually,
you know? Are they gonna do something like that?
Now that you mention it, I think when was it that the U.S. women won the World Cup with the ripping the shirt off in 1999?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, 1999. I believe that year it was sports women of the year, and it was the entire team.
Yeah, see, it's gonna be the same.
Politically correct,
it's
like
be
that.
The same thing.
All right, so I guess
give it to Abby Wambach.
Yeah,
that's
go Gators.
That's my vote.
Is that
your vote too?
No, Alex Morgan.
Wait, stop with the Gator crap. I'm tired of it. People that are listening are tired of it.
Well, people are also tired of the Philly attitude. So, you know
just
what I mean?
Everybody, look. Please send us your emails next week about asking us what we think about Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We will address it.
Yeah, we will. We know you've got an opinion about him, but
we will give you sarcastic humor and make fun of you.
And you probably have an opinion about a dark horse pick for Sportsman of the Year. And if there's anyone that deserves more, the Sportswoman of the Year, then the wonderful Alex Morgan, then you can let us know about that also. And coming up next, we're going to wrap it up with a little bit of news out of the baseball world. It seems that some realignment will be taking place starting in 2013, and the Astros, the Houston Astros, will be picking up and moving, not out of town, but to another division and another league. That's coming up next in the Backseat Sports Podcast.
If you've got questions, comments, or maybe even some insults, email Zach and James at backseatsports@gmail.com or reach them on Twitter at backseat_sports.
That's on Twitter at backseat_sports.
You are still in the backseat, the Backseat Sports Podcast. Again, I'm Zach Diodati. He's James Troiano. And this past week, some news came out that there's going to be a little bit of a shakeup in Major League Baseball. Starting in 2013, the Astros have been sold, and subsequently they're going to be moved, again, starting in 2013, to the AL West. They're currently in the NL Central. And the biggest effect that this is going to have is it's going to balance the NL and the AL, 15 teams each, 5 in each division. And so that's going to shake things up a little bit. And also, the talk is that interleague play will become a very normal and not so much a celebrated summer occasion. It's going to be a normal part of the major league scheduling. Now, James, does this upset you as a baseball traditionalist? Or are you more of a baseball, you know, modernist? Do you like the interleague play?
I don't like the DH.
Okay.
So I don't. I think that the AL.
You're
needs
a good
to get,
NL guy.
I think that the AL just needs to get rid of the DH.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's my thing with this. They picked a terrible team. Basically, they're taking advantage of the Houston Astros here because they picked the worst team to go to the AL.
Yeah.
That they could. They have no offense.
Yeah.
They have no absolutely. They're like one of their best hitters is Brett Myers. He's a pitcher. Okay.
Who?
And he won't even bat in the AL. So they're basically. An advantage that the Astros might have had.
The Astros just got worse, as if
Look,
it could happen.
If they would have told them this a couple years ago before they got rid of Lance Berkman and Michael Bourne and Hunter Pence, they yeah. actually when they actually had some good hitters yeah. that you can like you put Lance Berkman in the DH spot and it's like whatever, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't need his knees for the DH spot. But look, there's two main groups that Bud Selig pissed off with this.
Right.
He pissed off Houston Astros fans,
mm-hmm.
basically every NL fan. Let me just sum it up by saying
I don't know
that.
About that.
Well, why? Because the Astros are currently in the NL, right? Now they mm-hmm. have to go to the AL. So they're going to lose more games than they even lost this year, and they're awful. And the rest of the NL teams, that's one less team that they're going to beat most. Mm-hmm. most.
Well, okay, but...
So, you know. Like, as a Phillies fan, now we can't beat up on the Astros for, like, 7 to 8 games a year.
Right, right.
So
right.
that's
no, sure, no,
7 to 8 less
that, but...
questionable wins. Now we have to start go. Now we have to go around and play more AL teams.
Right.
And nobody wants to do that. I mean, look, I hate the AL. I think it's stupid.
Well, I mean, I agree with you on the DH because, you know, like when I go down to Turner Field again, we're based.
This is
going to
get into
based
a,
in
this
Atlanta.
Is going to get into a DH talk, isn't it?
No, not necessarily. But when I go down to Turner Field and I'm sitting there at a game, I love when you get past the sixth inning. And I'm you probably feel the same way about this. And strategy really comes into play. Like, I feel like being an NL manager is more demanding than being an AL manager.
It is.
It is. Your average game is going to be more demanding of your NL manager. I love when you have to look at the manager strategy when you get into the later innings and you have to rotate a lot of relievers because their spot in the lineup comes up and the home team needs to make that comeback. Those kind of things, I like those kind of coaching moves. In the AL, there's a little bit less strategy. I like the strategy
aspect.
Yeah, but
it's not just about this. I mean, the strategy is a big thing. And I mean, I guess it's, you know, during the regular season, it's kind of like whatever, you know. There's so many games that
right.
it's inconsequential. It becomes really consequential in the playoffs when it's like when it's a big deal.
Do you think...
My issue with the DH is just that it gives players that shouldn't be playing anymore a chance to continue to play, and you get these guys like
Jim Thome.
Yeah, well, Jim Thome's going to be playing first base for the Phillies next year.
Frank
so.
Thomas, guy.
No, but look, the Cardinals this year proved that an old guy like Lance Berkman can come in and contribute to your team. He doesn't need to be a DH yet.
Mm-hmm.
He can still play meaningful minutes in the outfield, and he can be a pinch hitter when he needs to. It's just these guys like, you know, Andrew Jones. Like, Andrew
right.
Jones, like, disappeared since, like, 2001. He's still bouncing around.
But you go to the AL if you're Andrew Jones. You don't have to run around center field anymore, which in his younger days was what you sold him on.
It's a sport.
Exactly, I agree.
If you can't run around, you don't need to be playing a professional sport getting paid millions of dollars.
Well, tell that to the average reliever that looks like, you know, guys like Bob Wickman and things like that, you know.
Well, right, I guess. But, look, they have a job to do, and they do it.
Right.
DH's job is stupid. Go bat 4 times a game. That's you all you get paid millions of dollars. You get to only hit. That's like the guy, like when you go play like a pickup game, he's like the guy that always plays on offense, you know, all-time QB.
All-time quarterback.
Yeah. Like yeah. Imagine if you had to, like, you're like, hey, man, we'll give you $50 and you get to be all-time Q. We're all going to play for free, though. That's a DH.
No, yeah, it's playground football. It's playground baseball, sorry, like in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it makes NL playoff baseball more interesting?
Well, they're adding 2 wild cards.
Yeah, I heard about that. And,
yes.
Listen, from what we're hearing, adding another wild card team, all they do is play a one-game playoff.
Yeah, they do. They play a one-game playoff.
After 162 games?
We're in Atlanta. The Braves would have made it.
Oh, cute. But like, a one-game playoff? A one-game...
Well, I didn't even say that to be like condescending. I just said it.
Okay, I understand. But a one-game playoff, like, again, you know, what's more exciting? Like, the NFL playoffs, the NHL, the NBA playoffs? Or, I mean, I know everyone's got their opinions, but, I mean, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, that structure, that format that they're in, it's so superior to me than the MLB playoff structure.
You know what would make it more interesting for me? If the Florida Gators were in it.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, no, I like that too. But anyway, Eastern Pennsylvania snarkiness aside, if there were more baseball teams, if there was more baseball, that'd be great.
We need a cancel button for your mic when you say words like snarky.
I have to do what I can to describe your personality over there on the other side of the board.
It'll be a cancel button, and I'll be like, I'm taking over from here, folks.
I wish there was a webcast, because James Troiano is giggling his ass off right now. Like it's getting a little out of control.
I had a...
You had a Red Bull. Yeah, we stopped by the grocery
store. Normally,
I
do like the 8 or 12, but I did I did the 16 today, and
well,
at least it was sugar-free.
Look, we were talking about baseball alignment, and we got a little disaligned here on this topic, but...
I feel bad for these Astros fans. It makes me I weep for them. It's like the trail of tears.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah,
doesn't it feel that way? They're like sitting around like
how many Astros fans are there?
Wow. It's like, what if Y2K actually happened? Like, you knew it was going to happen. That's like the Astros going to the AL. Like, well, they know it's going to happen. They're getting like foods, like they're like getting canned food and water, and they're putting it at the bottom of the stadium.
Well, from a TV standpoint and from a marketable standpoint, I like the fact that they're going to be playing the Rangers many times every season. That's a nice little rivalry. Those are the kind of things that you try to do with interleague play, like the White Sox Cubs.
Do you think that Bud Selig did this because he knows the world's going to end in 2012 and he did it in 2013?
It's like
he knows the world's going to explode anyway.
It's like, not only did you have a Red Bull, but you took a sarcasm injection before we came in here. Did I miss that? Who administered?
Look, I'm just throwing some things on the table.
Who has the needles?
I'm just throwing it out on the table, okay? I'm putting it up for debate.
Gosh.
Let's debate the issues here on the show, okay?
Man, we know that there are opinions not only about the Sportsman of the Year and about Tebow time in Denver, but this realignment in baseball as well. And again, interleague play is going to become a normal, everyday part of the baseball schedule. And again, if you'd like to share your opinions with us on the interleague play, the Astros move to the AL West, email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter @backseat_sports. That's on Twitter @backseat_sports. For James Troiano, I'm Zach Diodati. That was the Backseat Sports Podcast. See you next week.
I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about.